Too hot, too hot!
Hello and welcome to Happy Harry's Hoo-Ha 2 How-To's. Wow, try saying that with a mouthful of teeth. This is the premiere episode in a new 12-part weekly animation tutorial series by myself, Harry Partridge, and the lovely people over at Hoo-Ha 2, and will be exclusive to their Hoo-Ha 2 channel, so definitely subscribe if you want to catch all the future episodes. And speaking of future episodes, I'll give you a quick overview of what the series is about before I jump into today's lesson. Over the next 12 weeks, I would like to share with you as much information as I can to get budding animators out there up and running and ready to produce their own 2D digital animated cartoons that are not just good enough to put on the web, but good enough to be seen anywhere. We're not aiming low here. We want this stuff to be as good as or better than anything that's currently on TV. And it'll take a long time to get there. Now, today's episode is a little bit different because I'm going to be looking specifically at the program Adobe Flash, although later on I'll be looking at more universal animation techniques, which I think will apply to any program or any kind of animation if you want to do stop motion or 3D or even hand-drawn. Today, though, we're just looking at Flash because I think that's going to be a great starting point for people out there that don't have, you know, a platform to jump off from. So before I get into today's lesson, first of all, I'm going to run through a very quick list of things that you will need. First of all, you'll need a computer, but as you're watching this on a computer, I don't think that's a problem. Second of all, you'll need some sort of program or application to be able to create your own 2D animation. Now, I'm using Adobe Flash, as I've said. In fact, I'm going to be using the free 30-day trial available from Adobe's website. Thirdly, you'll need a tool to input your own artwork. Now, I recommend a Wacom tablet or a Wacom Cintiq. That's a screen that you draw directly onto, although these can be quite pricey. They're the best thing for the job, so it's worth getting one if you're serious about this. Alternatively, you can draw with a mouse, but I wouldn't really recommend it. Another option is actually hand-drawing your art and then scanning it into a computer and cleaning it up in Flash or whatever program you use. Finally, if you'd like to record your own voices, you will need to invest in a decent recording setup, but that's something that we'll come to later on in the episodes. Now, I think we're finally ready to take a look at Flash. Okay, that isn't particularly funny. We'll bring over the real Flash, Adobe Flash Professional CS6. Now, this is a program that can be used to make interactive web content like games, animations, or things like banners and advertisements that you probably block nowadays using third-party software. But that's not what we're worried about today. We're going to be looking at making animations. So go to Create New and pick ActionScript 3.0 or 2.0, doesn't matter which one. Let's go for 3. And we're met by this rather bleak looking selection of gray squares. Now, if you've never used an animation program before, don't worry, I'm going to try and keep things as streamlined as possible and not load you down with information that isn't really going to serve any purpose for what we want. We're just going to be talking about the tools that I think are useful for getting you started with creating animation. If you've used a program like Adobe Photoshop or Paint before, a lot of these things will probably seem fairly familiar. So this big white square here in the center of the screen is the stage, and it's basically the screen or the theater or whatever that our animations are going to take place in. If I go here and select a drawing tool like the brush, cleverly indicated by the brush icon, and draw here a little squiggle, that is going to appear in our film because it's in within the confines of the stage. If I draw offensive filth here outside of the confines of the stage and preview the film by hitting Control Alt and Enter, as you can see, that horrible filth is nowhere to be found. Let's just click off of that. And by dragging with the black arrow tool here found at the top left with your tools, by dragging and highlighting and then hitting delete, we can get rid of all of that lovely artwork. Now, if you want to turn off this sort of grey no man's land here and just worry about what you're going to see, you can go to View and turn off Pasteboard. And there, see, we're not going to see any of this other area. We're only going to see what actually will end up within the confines of the stage. Alternatively, by the way, if you want to get rid of everything on one single frame, and we'll talk about frames in a moment, you can grab the frame in the timeline, and we'll talk about the timeline later on, and again, hit delete. Now, before I move on to talking about timeline and frames, we're going to go to Modify and go to Document. And here is where we can actually modify the stage itself. It's currently set to 550 pixels wide by 400 pixels high. And that's a bit of an odd setting. I don't know why Flash has that as the default. But because we want to create a film or an animation, we're going to set it to 1920 wide by 1080 high, and that will give us a high definition resolution. And we'll see in a minute when we click OK, the stage will suddenly become much larger. But before I do that, I'd like to talk to you about adjusting background colors and frame rates. As you can see, our default background is white, and we'll keep it as white for the time being. But if you want it to be gray or pink or orange, let's just make it orange now. See, it's gone much bigger. We'll have to zoom out here using the magnifying glass tool and select reduce. Click a few times to zoom out. You can actually drag the area that you want to see, whether you're using the reduce or enlarge magnifying glass, and that'll sort of snap you back in, which is quite useful. But now we have a nice 1920 by 1080p stage, and we've got ourselves a nice orange background. Again, I'm going to go to Modify Document and select actually gray, or yeah, let's get a good nice darker gray. I actually don't like using too much white on the screen if I can help it, because when you're animating and looking at the screen for hours on end, it's nice not to bombard your eyes with white. I'm going to turn off Pasteboard so we can again see the stage within the surrounding area, and drag with a magnifying glass to get ourselves looking pretty much dead on at the stage here. And finally, I am going to begin to explain the timeline. Now, what is the timeline? Well, to begin to talk about the timeline, I first of all have to talk a little bit about animation and films and how they're made. As you probably know, when you look at a film or an animation, you're not looking at recorded movement. There is really no movement involved other than what the actors and actresses are doing on the set if you're recording a live-action film. Instead, the camera creates 24 still images a second, which when played back at 24 images a second, give the illusion of movement and life. And animation is really no different to live action film. The only difference is that an animator or someone creates those 24 images per second rather than filming them with a camera. So the timeline is simply just the timeline of the frames in our animation. And by hitting F6 on your keyboard, you can create lots and lots of blank keyframes or blank frames. Now, they currently have nothing in them, and you can scroll through them with this red cursor here by dragging it, but you're not going to see anything because there is no animation there. But if by going and getting the brush tool and by drawing into a frame, by moving the cursor and drawing into another frame, moving the cursor, drawing into another frame, moving the cursor, drawing into another frame, etc., etc., and then by either hitting enter for a preview or hitting control alt and enter to export the thing out, let's actually just hit enter, drag back to the beginning and hit enter, we can play our animation. And that's been made by creating these sequential frames in the timeline. Now, there are lots of fancy things that you can do with these frames in the timeline. You can actually drag specific frames out to last longer. This is playing back at 24 frames per second, so these frames flick by very quickly, but if you grab one particular frame and go to insert frame, you'll actually see it's been dragged out to last twice as long, and if we do that to each frame, our movement will be effectively playing back at 12 frames per second, even though we're still animating within 24 frames per second, because these frames are dragged out twice as long. Animators call these twos. You animate on twos or you animate on ones. Some people even animate on threes. And it makes the movement a little bit choppier, but we're still animating within a 24 frames per second animation. So by hitting enter, we can see the same animation play back. A little bit choppier, but it still looks pretty good. Much better for creating slow movements. Now, I'm going to begin to talk about tools next, but first of all, I'm going to grab our frames and go to remove frames to clear those away. And before I do that, I'm going to quickly talk about how Flash is sort of modular. If you want, you can grab the timeline and move it down until it highlights this blue bar here and sort of sticks to the bottom of the screen, if you like having your timeline at the bottom. Alternatively, you can grab the toolbar and move it over here if you like having your tools on the right, but I actually prefer having them on the left. I like having my tool on the left. That doesn't sound good, does it? Sounds like something a tailor would ask you. Right. It does actually take a bit of fiddling to get it to stick where you want. See, you can drag the boxes and make them all kind of different sizes and shapes. But again, I'm going to move the timeline up here. And we'll begin talking about tools. Right, as we've discussed, this bar here on the left is the toolbar. And there are a lot of things down here, and some of them I don't even know what they do. And I've been using Flash for 10 years. So I'm only going to run down the basics and really talk about the things that I think are going to be useful for you. We've already discussed this black arrow here, which can be used to change or highlight art. Let's just give ourselves a frame here to work into. If you don't have a frame, you won't actually be able to draw anything in the stage. By grabbing the arrow tool here, we can highlight the art. And then by right-clicking, you can go to Free Transform, which is always useful for rotating your art or scaling your art up. And by the way, hold down the Shift key if you want to scale without actually stretching or distorting your art. Scale up or down. Rotate, some interesting things like the envelope tool, again by right click, and you can sort of morph and warp the art. Wish I'd picked a better image here to begin playing with. This sort of whoopee cushion that's become deflated here. So all of that stuff's pretty useful. Again, highlight with the arrow tool, hit delete to get rid of. Now, there are two ways you can kind of create most of the art in Flash, and that's by using the brush tool or a line tool. Now, the brush tool, I believe, is the superior way of creating art, and we create that with, we select that by picking the brush tool here. And as you see, we can draw lots of interesting shapes and begin throwing in exciting looking characters. For 2013, he's hip, he's cool, he's listening to Beats by Dre. Get rid of him, he's obnoxious actually, I don't like him at all. Again, we can just select the frame and hit delete. But you can also select or create art, with the line tool. Now the line tool is a lot more sort of mathematical. You can create straight lines by dragging, and then go in and bend those lines after the fact by warping them with the arrow tool that we've already talked about. And of course, highlight and delete, as always, we can create geological, mathematical, uber boring squares and circles with this square tool here. And by holding down our mouse, we can select ovals and circles. Again, if you want a nice even circle, hold down shift so you don't get these weird sort of oval shapes. Control Z to get rid of those alternatively. And the line tool does use a different palette to the paint tool or the brush tool, and you can change that by going here and selecting black. So actually this will give us nice black lines. And if we want to change the color of our brush, we go here to the bucket fill tool and we can have a nice red brush. Now, as you're probably aware, when you color in with a program like this, there is a nice easy way to do that using a bucket fill tool. For example, let's draw some sort of mutant Bart Simpson here. Looks like how Bart was drawn in the old Tracy Ullman shorts, kind of. And by coloring him in, we can go to the bucket fill tool and select. Let's make him a nice blue, the color that the Simpsons are famous for. And there we go. We've just clicked into him directly and filled him in without having to color manually. Ooh, there's a hole here present in Bart's eye, which we're not able to fill in, obviously, because there is a gap. But actually, Flash can cut us a break here. And by selecting the bucket fill tool and then going down to gap size, we're able to select close large gaps. And that will color in despite the hole not actually being fully closed. Zoom out. Now, if you're using a Cintiq or a drawing tablet, one of the cool things about that is you can actually have your lines taper in and out. Now we're going to select the brush tool. Let's have it black, be black again. And by hitting this sort of water droplet icon here, we can actually turn on pressure sensitivity. So without pressure sensitivity, we get these very consistent lines. And they're not necessarily ugly, that might be what you're going for. But by turning on pressure sensitivity, we can have lines that are thin and fat, and then thin again if we want, by applying more pressure, or even a line that starts off thick, goes thin in the middle, and then ends up fat, and we've accidentally created a corporate logo. Fantastic. So, other than the line tool and the brush tool, that's really all you need to know, along with the bucket tool. You can also, of course, create text in Flash by using the text tool here, dragging the box that you wish to type your text into, and then saying, "Look, Ma, no brains." Fantastic. Now, one thing I should mention before we move on is the Properties box, which you can bring up by selecting Window and then Properties. And it brings up a context-sensitive box, which will change depending on which tool you're currently using. Because we're using text at the moment, it is text-centric. And we can change the color of the text, or we can change the position, etc., etc., and the font as well, if you so desire. And if we were to be using the Brush tool instead, effectively, by changing the color for the brush tool, we have changed the color for the text as well, so you don't really need to bring up the properties box to change the color of the text. Just a quick aside there. Now, if we were to bring up the properties box again, it has changed to have much more to do with our brush setting, but I'm actually happy with that for the time being as it is. Now, we're going to move on and begin to look at how you create animation in Flash. Finally, we're getting somewhere. Now, there are two ways you can create a Flash animation, and those are frame by frame and tweening. And if those don't sound immediately familiar, don't worry, I'll explain what they mean. Essentially, they're two ways of creating animation by generating frames. And frame by frame, what that means is, and we've sort of seen it already, is if I introduce lots of blank keyframes, I can simply have a frame followed by another frame, followed by another, followed by another, followed by another, followed by another, 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 another. And we get this effect where we create animation by drawing all the frames by hand. I don't know what it is about this little dot that flies around that always seems to be my go-to for representing frame-by-frame animation to people. The other way is tweened animation, and that's where the computer kind of creates the in-between images, and that's where the word tween came from, in-between. And we do that by getting rid of these frames to begin with, creating a new frame. And let's, again, create that circle, except we're going to select Create Classic Tween, and by inserting frames, we can see that we no longer have a gray frame. It's actually changed to this very pale lilac color. And by then selecting a future frame, we're on frame 10 here, and highlighting and right-clicking, we can insert keyframe, and it sort of created this line from frame 1 to frame 10 here. And if we move the circle on the 10th frame, that will effectively create all the in-betweens for us. People create very complicated animation this way by effectively building a character out of individual pieces, almost like you would a puppet, and tweening each individual body part. Now, this isn't actually a form of animation I have a whole lot of experience with, and we'll be concentrating on frame-by-frame animation throughout this tutorial. It's a lot more work, and it does take longer to produce, but I ultimately think it's more rewarding. We will, however, be coming back to tweens when we look at creating camera pans or moving elements like a cloud moving by in the background or something like that. So we're not quite done with tweens yet. However, before we wrap up today, I would still like to look at one more thing, and that's working with layers. Now, I just selected a new layer, and I'll do that again in a moment and show you what I did. By selecting this button here, which is labeled, surprisingly, New Layer, we're able to build up layer after layer in the timeline, which we can shift around if we so desire, and reorder them. And effectively, they act like plates of glass, which you can create artwork on top of. And whatever is on the top layer will effectively obscure things on the layer below it. And I'll show you what I mean by that. Bam! And we are back. Now, I know that Pixar are not going to lose any sleep over this, but hopefully it should prove useful in helping me illustrate my points about layers. As you can see, by selecting this dot here under the eye, we're able to actually make layers invisible or visible. And you can see we have a background layer, we have a tweened cloud layer, we have a little man who I frame by frame animated to look like he's running away in fear of realizing how badly animated he is. And a little shrubbery here just in front of him to add a little bit of depth. And if we select loop playback and hit enter, we can watch our little film unfold. So we've got a combination there of animated layers, non-animated layers, and also tweening. And it's all come together using the stuff that we've learned today to help make the very, very crude short you see playing in front of you. Now, we're at the tallest point of the highest peak of the biggest, tallest mountain on the biggest iceberg imaginable, but we have a long way to go, and things are going to heat up a lot more next week when I start to break down animation, frame-by-frame animation, in a lot more depth. We're going to begin to look at sort of the principles behind animation, animating objects and sort of getting real flow and groove in our movement. And eventually we're going to move on at the end of that episode to look at animated cartoon characters who look a lot better than this guy. So tune in next week for more Happy Harry's Who's Has Twos, How's Twos, Harry's Twos.
Happy Harry's Who Has Twos.